Hello, and welcome to the Queen's Observatory Fast Radio Bursts. I am Connor Stone, here with my co-host, Nikhil Arora. It is our mission to bring exciting space news hot off the telescope and into your ears. One way or another, the Queen's Observatory has continued its practice of sharing the wonders of the universe since 1857. Thank you for joining us in this long-running tradition. Here at Fast Radio Bursts, we will answer your questions, interview astronomers, and dive deep into breaking research. From low Earth orbit to the clouds of Venus, from Betelgeuse to colliding black holes, it's a big universe to talk about, so let's get started. And welcome back. I'm Connor Stone, here with Simran Nerval. Hi, Simran.
Hi, Connor. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being here. I hope you're having a good day. So today, we have Simran here as our special guest on the podcast. We're going to do an interview about her work on stochastic gravitational wave backgrounds, which by the end of the podcast will not sound intimidating, but might right now. Before we get into that, I think we should do a bit of a background so we can get to know Simran a little bit better. First up, she grew up in BC, so she's traveled across Canada to come to us here at Queen's. And she's just finished her master's here at Queen's University. So that's very exciting. She did her bachelor's at the University of Toronto and is extremely active in science outreach. So Simran has got herself involved in just about everything here at Queen's for our science outreach activities. You're a coordinator for Let's Talk Science, involved with Gemini P, the Ideas Initiative. You've been an invited speaker at our observatory open houses and the Astronomy on Tap events. So you've really been all over the place. Certainly a big advocate for women and diversity in STEM, which is awesome. We need as much of that as we can get. And I hear you're a bit of a baker. So COVID has probably really been great for you with all the new baking stuff around, eh?
Yeah. I've been baking for a long time, but when COVID hit, since, you know, you can't really do anything else, my baking went up from a couple times a month to like a couple times a week at the beginning. So that was really cool. I was able to, you know, learn how to make a lot of different things, like different like cool types of bread and stuff, and like practice my piping skills. So yeah, I think it's been really great for my baking, at least.
Oh yeah, piping skills. There's a lot to that. I've seen some videos on YouTube, people doing all sorts of crazy, fancy stuff with their piping. What's an example of something that you've made with your piping skills?
Yeah, mine are definitely not at the level of what you've probably seen online. Usually when I am piping, well, either I'll do just, you know, the simple thing on cupcakes, like the swirly one. But when I make brownies a lot of the time, I will try different piping techniques on the brownies because it doesn't really matter what it looks like if you're just eating a brownie. It's like, you know, making roses or like little like cross hatches and stuff like that.
All right. You can get creative because as long as it tastes good, everyone's happy.
Exactly.
All right. So your research, as I said earlier, is stochastic gravitational wave backgrounds. But before we really get into that, I think we should ask sort of the first question that I ask most of our guests here is, what really got you interested in astronomy? How did you get started? So everyone has a different path to get to the level that you're at, recent masters of science. So how did you get started?
Yeah, great question. Growing up, I was always really interested in science and in space in particular. But I was actually really torn growing up between going into astrophysics and going in and trying to be a classical musician, because I started playing instruments when I was 6 years old, played them all the way until partway through undergrad, and then, you know, school took over. And that didn't continue. But so what I decided to do was I actually went to a fine arts middle school to try to, you know, choose, because, you know, it's middle school, you can explore more on what you want to do. And within my first year there, so in sixth grade, I kind of realized that the arts, so music and also drama, I've been in lots of musicals and plays, were more of a hobby not necessarily a career path that I wanted. So I stuck it out for the fine arts middle school, but then I switched into a more academic high school to be able to, you know, go into astrophysics. So that's when I made my decision. But going and like doing all these fine arts trainings, I think was really, really helpful. For example, for like presentations and like speaking skills and stuff like that, like, you know, being in plays, like really prepare you for that, which is useful. So you aren't like as nervous when presenting at conferences and such.
Well, you've really taken advantage of that because you've been presenting all over the place. So that's great skills to have.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's awesome you got that opportunity to try out both and really make the decision for yourself.
Yeah. I was really lucky that we had like a public fine arts school where I grew up in Abbotsford. But even if you don't necessarily have that, I definitely suggest if like when you're younger to try as much as you can of the different things that interest you. So then you can figure out, you know, where are your like true passions lying for what you want to do going forward? Because, you know, your career, you can change career paths, but like what you do for your career, you're going to be doing it a lot. So you want to make sure it's something that you really care about.
Yeah, for sure. Especially in graduate studies when you're working pretty much every day.
Exactly. Yeah.
All right. And within astrophysics, you've really zeroed in on cosmology. And so I wanted to ask what got you started in that, and perhaps preemptively, what is Lightbird?
Okay, sure. So for cosmology, so in undergrad, you know, I was kind of trying to decide what exactly is the part of astro that I really, really want to do. And, you know, you take courses in everything from like planets and stars, to galaxies, cosmology and stuff. And I started to realize that a lot of the things that really, really interested me when I was, you know, doing like little research things at home growing up, or like even in middle school, one of my like science projects was on the Big Bang, like different things like that. And you're realizing that all of that kind of stuff fit into cosmology, and that was really what interested me, you know, how the universe began, how it's evolving, how it's going to end, and like why everything looks the way that it does. And those are all the questions that cosmology addresses. So that's a lot of what I went into. And then I was really lucky that I was able to get my undergraduate thesis on a cosmology topic. It was on Lightbird. So it was forecasting for Lightbird, which essentially just means, so Lightbird is a proposed cosmic microwave background experiment, which I guess I can't do what that is, but it's essentially trying to measure a signal from the universe when it was about 300,000 years old. And what I did is I ran simulations, so I used computers to try to figure out how well this satellite will be able to constrain or like figure out how well different theories we have about the other universe would fit the data that the telescope could detect. So, you know, trying to characterize its noise and such. So that's what I did in my undergrad thesis, and I really, really loved it. And that really solidified that this is the type of science I want to do going forward.
Well, it's great you got an opportunity like that in undergrad. I think not too many people get to work on a real experiment even during their undergraduate studies. And I've also got to mention, you were really thinking big even in middle school if you were doing projects on the Big Bang.
Yes. And one thing about that too, to like let all like the kids know, is like when I gave that presentation, everybody was really bored, minus the teacher. The teacher really loved it. So even if your friends or the other people in your class don't think that, you know, these more nerdy like hobbies and passions are cool, like stick with it, because now it's like, well, I get to literally do this like every day for my job. And it's really cool.
It's definitely really cool. And now everybody wants to hear about it. You keep getting invited to give talks.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is like really amazing. And like, yeah, it's really cool to be able to do that and like share my love of science with people.
Super fun to be able to share your passion and to get the positive feedback where everyone's really excited to talk about it. Mm-hmm. So since we're on the topic of the Big Bang, maybe we should go over some sort of broad overview and give people a bit of get people on the same page before we get into the specifics of your research. So perhaps you could describe what the Big Bang is and what the CMB is.
Yeah, great. So standard Big Bang cosmology is essentially just like the main model that we use to explain the universe. So it's our universe started in like a really, really small, hot, dense state. If you've ever watched the Big Bang Theory show, you probably have heard the intro song where they say that. But that's essentially what we think happened. And then the universe expanded from there, and initially expanded really, really fast, period, known as inflation, which we'll probably talk about because that's a lot of what I researched. And then we start having things like, you know, our normal matter forming. So, you know, like protons, neutrons, electrons. So, you know, things that like make up you and me are like all the things we see around us. And then we start having, you know, like nuclei forming. So, you know, making elements and such. And that all happens in the first 3 minutes of the universe. So like when it's a really like tiny infant baby.
The universe was very busy at the beginning.
Yeah, exactly. It grew up really fast. And then when we go forward in time, we can get to a time period known as the cosmic microwave background. And the universe is about 300 or 400,000 years old. And essentially what that time period is before the cosmic microwave background, everything was like really hot and really dense. So we had a bunch of photons or light particles, and then all of our, you know, neutrons, protons, electrons. But there were so many of them, the light particles would be bouncing off of them and being scattered in a bunch of directions. So think about, you know, if you're trying to get across the room and it was really, really full of people, you're probably going to hit into a bunch of people. It's going to take you a really long time to get to the other side of the room, if you ever can. But, you know, if the room's a lot like it's a lot more dead and like there's a lot less people, you can get across the room and not hit into a single person. And that's essentially what happened with these photons or light particles.